This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Greetings. We're back on the pod. And we've got Matt McClain today. Perhaps you've heard of him. Kidding. You're a Reds fan. You know who this dude is. Killing it so far. How you doing, man? Welcome to the podcast.
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You have made a big splash. Do you feel it? Do you feel the love from Reds country?
I do, yeah. I really do. They're great. The fans are great. People are great. Cincinnati's great. It's a good place to play, for
now,
sure.
Now, what was it like, and we'll talk about Ellie De La Cruz here coming up. Full disclosure, by the way, we're recording this. Ellie De La Cruz just got caught up like an hour ago. No lie.
Yeah.
So it's a different dynamic. But what was it like when you were down there and everyone was clamoring, all right, let's get him up here? Did you hear the noise that people wanted you to hear?
Yeah. I mean, like, with social media nowadays, you can't escape it.
Right.
It's just something that, like, you just know that it's, you got no control over it.
Yeah.
You just got to go play baseball.
Some guys are wide-eyed when they come up here, and at first, at least, the moment is too big. It never seemed like that for you. Did you feel comfortable from the get-go, or did you just hide it?
I hide it, for sure. I was nervous. I'm still nervous. I still get nervous for every game. It's just a part of nervous / excited. Like, I just want to start the game already.
Yeah. What makes you nervous?
I think it's more the fact that, like, okay, like, I'm ready. Like, let's go play.
Yeah.
Like, I feel ready. I feel loose. I'm like, let's just go play. Like, I don't want to do all this stuff before the game. You know, after BP, there's 2 hours. I'm like, oh, I'm roll right into the game.
Right.
Like, I don't know why. I just want to, like, play.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait. But that's part of it. You got to learn what to do in those times.
Now, fielding is fielding. By the way, the fields are better, right? I mean, you made some errors at Triple A. I'm like, hey, it's a little different. You get up here, the fields are better, the lighting's better, everything's better.
Yeah.
So relax on that. As far as the pitching goes that you've been facing, is it what you expected?
It's better.
It's better than you expected.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not to say I didn't expect it to be a cakewalk, but I was like, some of these guys, like, whoa. Like, you better, there's no breaks. That's one of the things that I said is, like, there's no one where you're like everyone's really good and they're, like, gonna bring their best on every pitch. Like, especially one thing that I noticed was, like, they're gonna challenge you, like me.
Oh, yeah.
They're not gonna, like, nibble. They're gonna be like, hit this, like, let's see what you got.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that I've noticed and I felt. It's like every single pitch is a challenge, and that's, like, one of the really fun parts is, like, that makes the game more fun because, like, sometimes in the minor leagues you get guys and they're, like, you know, they're nibbling. It's like four-pitch walk. I walked a lot more in the minor leagues so far. I don't have that many at-bats still, but that was one of the things I noticed is, like, there's not, like they're coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good thing. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like it's this is a hyped rookie right here? I'm coming after this kid right here. Or they just come at you in general.
They come at everyone 1 through 9.
Yeah.
I don't think it's me more than anyone. I think it's just the fact that, like, you know, it's the big leagues. Like, there's a lot on the line. Like, it means a lot. Every single win means a lot. Every single loss means a lot. Like, individual performances mean a lot. Like, everything matters. So I think it's, like, just in general, 1 through 9, like, the pitcher, like, wants you.
Yeah.
And the hitter wants to get the pitcher too.
Yeah. The jump from AAA to Major League Baseball is huge.
I mean,
you can say that it's not all you want, but it is huge. Has there been a pitch that has been the best that has surprised you, or even a pitcher that has a pitch? I mean, is there one that's like, oh, wow, I didn't see that in the minor leagues? Outside of the few top, you know, you face some top prospects as well. They're going to be in the show.
Yeah.
In the minors.
I think that the starter for the Yankees, Severino, he came out. It was like an 11:35 game. It's like, I just woke up like 2 hours ago.
That's terrible.
And he was like, yeah, those games.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's for TV. It's for money. I get it. Everything's,
yeah,
you know, driven by money. And those doggone TV people. It's idiots on TV, huh?
But he was like, he was really like 95, 97. But it looked like there was no effort behind it. And it was like, I looked up and I was like 0-for-3 with like 3 strikeouts. And it was like probably on like 11 or 12 pitches. And I was like, oh, like that's one of the things, like, you know, he doesn't care that it's an 11:35 game. He feels great. He's had 4 days of rest. It's like, you better bring it. Like,
yeah. Have you felt like that you have, you always knew that you had, I mean, your shortstop's your favorite position, but you always knew that you had it in you. But you feel like you surprised some people a little bit? Not that you were like a slacker defensively, but you've excelled at the position so far. Do you feel happy with what you've done defensively?
So far, the error the other day, I was
the throwing
mad
error?
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of like, I kind of like almost took it for granted a little bit, like easy double play ball.
Yeah.
Fillet it over there. It's in the right field. And it's like, that stuff makes me mad. But I feel like I've done a good job so far. I feel like I can get better, but like the support system, like with the Reds, the coaches here, the coaches in the minor leagues have helped me so much. And like, I've gotten a lot better. And I know I'm going to get better, 'cause like I work hard and that's what I do.
Yeah.
But so far it's been fun. And I feel like, yeah, I guess I surprised some people, 'cause people just, 'cause my size, they just want to go, oh, he's second baseman.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. But I feel like, yeah, so far.
Now, speaking of your size or lack thereof size, is this something you've dealt with the whole time throughout your career, whether it be where you're drafted, where you're projected, et cetera? You've always dealt with the question of lack of size.
I think like baseball has actually done a really good job of, you know, picking out athletes other than size. Like,
I think it's an advantage, by the way.
100%. I think it is, too.
There's way less to go wrong in your swing.
Yes.
You're compact. You've got a smaller strike zone. I think it's an advantage.
I believe that, too. I know a lot of people don't. There's, like, some things. I think it is, too. I use it to my advantage. On the thing, I'm like the Triple-A strike zone thing.
Oh, yeah.
With the robo-umps.
Yeah.
My zone was small. I was like, oh, I love this thing. Yeah.
A lot of people have said that it's smaller and it's more advantageous to the hitters, particularly guys that have the smaller strike zone to begin with.
There's, for everyone in general, there's not much top of the zone. There's like, you'll get some like ones that like clip, like sliders, like low and away that'll like clip and you'll be like, okay, that was a ball.
Yeah.
But like, I'll take it if they're not calling like below my letters.
Right.
Like, or belly button even. It's like, that was probably a strike, but they called it a ball, so.
Yeah, the guys, even in like golf, that the guys that have compact swings have an advantage. When you're taller, like I got these arms that hang down to the ground. Like, there's so much that could go wrong in my swing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I envy someone that's just got this compact swing. I just think it's a complete advantage. So when people bring up the size thing, I'm like, heck with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an advantage to me. So is there anyone that is you've been in awe of at all? Like, that you, major leaguers, you've been around like, oh, wow, I'm on the field with that dude, or I'm in the clubhouse with that guy?
No, I respect them all, but like, I don't think I'm in awe of any of them.
Yeah. Now, all right, I got to ask you, because this just came to my mind because of that question.
Mm-hmm.
You were in AAA with Votto when he was rehabbing.
Yeah.
And he put a video on social media, and I've been meaning to ask you about this. He's playing chess, and you come up and destroy the board.
Yeah.
Now, what is the story behind that? Was this set up? Because people are like, wow, McClain.
Yeah.
Wow, oh, that's yeah. bold.
People were like DMing me and stuff, and I'm like, come on. I just laughed it off. But yeah, he might have been in on it. But that makes the video less funny. Like, I say
I
that,
know, but
he might have been.
It's played long enough. I mean, this was a month ago.
Yeah, at least.
Or so ago. So if you haven't seen it, folks, I think it was on Votto's. I think it was on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Where Votto's playing chess with somebody in the club.
McGarry.
McGarry in Louisville.
McGarry was mad. He was actually
mad.
He didn't know.
All right, explain the video.
So, me and Nick Martini were talking.
Yeah.
And I was making fun of them for playing chess right before the game. And I was like, dude, every time they're playing, I just want to like knock it over. Like, just because I just, and it wasn't Joey, it wasn't McGarry, it was anyone who played. I was like, yeah. I just want to knock it over. Because, like, they're so locked in, and, like, I like to mess around, and, like, they're just so locked in on the thing. Like, neither one of them are looking up. And, no, like, this is everyone who plays chess. I'm like, I just want to knock it over. Like, just to make them mad. And, and Joey was behind me, and Martini didn't tell me, and Joey starts cracking up. And I turn around. And he starts cracking up. He's like, you want to knock it over? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do it. I think it would be hilarious. So next day, he keeps trying to get McGarry to play like yeah. once or twice. McGarry's like, was doing something. McGarry was like, I can't right now. I can't. He eventually gets him to play. And 30 seconds later, I go and I knock it over and walk away. It was funny, yeah.
It was classic.
Yeah.
And you deadpanned it, too.
Yeah.
Like, you looked like you were ticked off.
Yeah.
And Votto obviously played it off very, very well.
He did.
It looked like this young, who was about to be a rookie in Major League Baseball, just completely destroyed a Hall of Famer to B's chess game.
Yeah.
It's like he has the...
When people ask me, I said, I, you know, I didn't really like him playing right before a game.
See, I'm sorry that I've ruined it a little bit, but it's played for a month, so yeah. Now the story behind that is great. That, and I love that he had a high praise for you. Joey had high praise for you. I think his words were, I've really taken to this Matt McClain. So hearing praise like that, that has to be large for you.
Yeah, he gives me a lot of really good advice, like day in and day, not every day, but like when he sees something, like he's not afraid to tell me, and I tell him, like, dude, tell me, like,
yeah,
you're a Hall of Famer. Like,
yeah.
Tell me. Like, he's like, do you want, like, stuff? Do you want to hear what I have to say? I'm like, yes. Like, tell me.
Do you have a sample of something that he's told you?
Like, when we were in Louisville, he was, like, on me about, you know, like, when you get to the majors, you don't want to be, like, searching for major adjustments. He's like, the most important thing is, like, find out the player you are. And, like, go to school on that every single day and, like, work on the little things because they really do show up day in and day out. But he was just like, you really have to work on the little things, like, for example, like, throwing, where to put your throws or hitting, like, the pitch that you're swinging at. He's like, just work really, really hard. He told me to treat it like instructs. He's like, treat this like instructs. Like, get out there early, work, just keep working. And I did, and I still do that, like, now that I'm here. And not to say that I have everything figured out or anything,
right.
But I don't know. That stuck with me that, like...
Oh, big time.
Because he works so hard. He works harder than anyone. So, like, seeing him do that and, like, still do that now is, like, you know, you're never too good. Like, there's always stuff that you can work on. And I think it's just fun to watch him go about his business, and I can learn from it.
Yeah, well, that's tremendous. You got a lot of guys to learn from now. I would... Back in spring training, I noticed that Jonathan India was talking to you a lot, or at least from what I saw. And we're talking about an interesting dynamic because he's at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what your long-term future is going to be, where you're going to play. You don't know. It could be short. It could be second. You can move all around. But either way, he's the second baseman. He's entrenched as the second baseman. And not a lot of guys would help a guy that perhaps would replace him one day. I mean, that's an interesting dynamic. But he's been pretty open to talking to you, has he not?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the thing is that, like, we're teammates. It doesn't really matter, like, what position we play. If we're on the same field, like, we're going to, like, try and win and try and beat the other team, like, no matter what. And, like, we're both... I love the way that he plays the game. Like, he plays really hard.
Yeah.
Like, he's hurt sometimes. He doesn't care. He's out there, like, grinding.
Right.
And I respect that. Like, he's one of those guys that I watch work. I'm like, dude, like, that's fun to watch. Like, I want to be like that. I want to work like that.
Yeah.
Day in and day out.
When you were first around him, though, did you sense, like, I'm going to approach this delicately because of that dynamic that you're middle infer? No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
That's great. That's awesome.
I don't think he did it all either.
No, I don't. I definitely didn't. And I've talked to him about it. I've asked him specifically a few times about it. And he's like, hey, I'm here to help everyone.
Yeah.
Including Matt McClain. I'm a team guy. He's always been a team guy.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, even if it's at his demise in the future, I have no idea what the future holds. But I just think that's cool. I just think it's very cool that you can call upon a guy like Votto and you can call upon a guy like India, who was National League Rookie of the Year a few years back. So that's got to be awesome. This support group, like you said, is helped you tremendously.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things is like players, coaches, like, help me out. I feel like they're truly like there to help me and like support me. And you don't always get that, like, throughout baseball. You don't always. I've been fortunate to where, like, I've really felt like that, but talking to other guys on other teams, they don't always feel that way.
Yeah.
And baseball is a business, but at the same time, like, that's nice to have, and I feel like I have it here.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, like I said, as we're recording this, like an hour and a half ago, they just announced that Ellie De La Cruz is coming up. So this is Tuesday. This is not going to drop until Monday. So I don't know what's happened on the game Tuesday or any Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No idea. All right. Hold up. I got to jump in here. At the time we recorded the McLean podcast midweek, we didn't know, obviously, what was going to happen that night or the rest of the week. And I would only break in if something incredible happened. And that incredible thing is indeed Ellie De La Cruz's performance, at least so far. I mean, the dude deemed himself the fastest man in the world. That warrants breaking into this program alone. And after the game today, I asked him about the pressure that comes with all the hype. And he interrupted me in English, said, "No pressure, just chilling." Great answer. Great response. He has that type of confidence and poise. And we saw it on the first night. It took him to a second at bat to get his first hit, a double. But I was most impressed with this first at bat, which was just a walk. And you say, hey, just a walk. But think about the situation. He does come with all that hype. He's a young guy. He's been known as a free swinger in the minor leagues for the most part. And he's got to be just anxious to get up there and hit the ball as hard as he can and just show himself. He took the walk. Incredible poise to do that in his first at bat. And then the second game nearly hits it out of the doggone stadium. Crazy. How high that towering, how hard it was hit. It was incredible to watch in person. Had triple that same night. It's the, it's a Great American Ballpark, so it's not a triple haven park. He and McLean already have that one down. And speaking of McLean, by the way, that first game Tuesday night, he recorded the pod and then walked it off that night. Love to see that. Now, in the middle, Ellie, struggled. They started giving him that steady diet of curveballs. He struck out six straight times over a two-game span. But then he goes to St. Louis and really showed us something again. First of all, I'm not sure I've ever seen an off-balance swing in which he literally slapped it the other way. And it was like 108 miles per hour off the bat. I mean, that's incredible. He walked twice again today. He's got five walks over six games. Two of them today, scored on both of them. And the second walk, I mean, he literally manufactured the run on his own. The game-winning run. Completely manufactured the run. A little bit of help from guys that put the ball in play, etc. But completely manufactured run. I mean, the Reds might not win that game if he doesn't do that. Spencer Steer grounded him over to second base. He gets to third base on a pass ball. And then how many times have we seen that contact play with the Reds? They're very aggressive on the contact play. And how many guys have been thrown out at home plate? No, not him. Infield halfway drawn in and still slides head first, safe home. Game-winning run. It's incredible. The speed, I mean, his sprint speed numbers have been documented. He had the highest exit velo right out of the gate of any Red this year. Hardest thrown ball. He throws it nearly 100 miles per hour across the diamond. But it has been
mighty impressive. I mean, we're six games in, and he's got seven runs. He scored seven runs in six games and drawn those five walks. He's got driven in four. Now he has 10 strikeouts. This is what is probably going to be, at least early on in his career, 10 strikeouts and 22 at-bats. So it's pretty much either something incredible or strikeout. 364 average, 481 on base, 1117 OPS. He's, man, got to tell you, he's fun to watch. I don't know what's going to happen with this Reds team going forward, but they are fun to watch. I think he can admit that. I could go on and on about Ellie De La Cruz. He's even driving, you know, singling, driving in runs. Impressive. So I had to break in. But McClain does talk about his relationship with De La Cruz, and he's got some good stuff coming up. So we send you back to your regularly scheduled programming here on the Jim Day Podcast. I do know that you're playing shortstop tonight, mm-hmm. and Ellie's at third base.
Yeah.
And he's batting fourth, and you're batting second.
Yeah.
What is the relationship with you and De La Cruz?
It's a good one. I mean, like, I feel like he's a lot more, like, you know, flashy on the field and stuff, but, like, we play the game the same way. He plays hard all the time. I want to play hard all the time. I don't know. It's fun to play with him because, like, we make plays, and yeah. he makes plays where it's like, the guys are going, how'd they make that?
Yeah.
And, like, hitting with him behind me or in front of me in Louisville, I don't know what's going to happen here, like you said. But
he's batting fourth tonight. That's all I know, folks. Ellie is.
Is he?
Yes.
I didn't think he was in the lineup.
Really?
I don't know.
I think he's at third base.
Maybe I'll check my phone again later.
well, we want to be accurate on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot what I was saying. It's a good relationship. It's a fun one, and it's fun to play with him on the field because he's fun to watch and he's fun to play with because he helps the team win.
Yeah. Now, when you were playing shortstop, mm-hmm. did he play third most of the time?
He would play third or DH.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the time he would play third.
Now, that's, again, another interesting dynamic where you both want to play shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen. Are you okay with second base if that would happen in the future? Are you going to?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I pride myself on is the ability to play other positions because not a lot of people can do it. Yeah. And I want to do it at a high level because yeah. that's one that's really valuable. And like two, a lot of people can't do it. So it's like, yeah. if you can do that, it's a plus.
Yeah.
And I really don't care where I play. I just want to be in the lineup.
You really mean that?
That's
not just player speak right now?
Shortstop is the most fun.
Yeah.
But I really don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
So if Ellie De La Cruz ends up being the everyday shortstop and you're the everyday second baseman, you're good with that.
Yeah. That's baseball.
Yeah.
If we're winning, yes.
Ah.
If it helps us win, yes.
Yes.
Which I don't know. That'll play itself out. But yeah. I literally just want to win.
Love that.
That's the most
I think
fun
fans want to hear that too.
I want to win and I want to play well.
Yeah.
I mean, those two things. I think everyone can say that, but
yeah.
I really do.
I mean, when you look at this young nucleus,
mm-hmm.
Pugh and Ellie,
yeah,
Steers playing well.
Really well.
Encarnacion Strand is on the doorstep.
Stud, yeah.
Abbott last night.
Shoved. Yeah.
So, and there, you know, I'm missing others. I mean, even India's a part of, he's young. Stevenson's
yeah.
young. All these guys, the pitcher's Green.
Yeah.
Lodolo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're smiling right now. That's got to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It's like fun to look at it and go, like, you know, it's something that like you look at and you get excited about. But like we have individually and like as a team, like we just got to work hard and like
yeah.
let it happen, you know, not force it and not lay back and just, you know, look back and like, oh, they were supposed to be so good. Like,
yeah,
we really got to work hard and like make it happen.
Yeah. Now, Ellie, do you marvel sometimes at how hard he hits the ball?
I marvel at the running. He hits the ball so hard, but like running the base is the most fun thing for me to watch that he does.
Yeah.
Because like taking extra bases, it's like, whoa. But yeah. Yes, he also hits the ball really hard.
Yeah. Now, this is at AAA. Whether he can pull this off or he did it
throughout the minor leagues. Yeah. But whether he can pull it off at the major league level is a different thing. But if a guy just turns around or turns his head or hesitates for a second, he'll go.
Yeah.
Or if it's hit to an outfielder that he has to go left or right, he's going for second.
Yeah.
It's incredible speed.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
He
man.
Gets there in like five strides. I'm like, I thought I was fast. I get there in like 25. He gets there in five.
Yeah. I just watched a video, by the way, of when PK told him.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that.
You wanted to see it?
Yeah. Can we see it right now?
Hold on. Let's see here. Let's, yeah. Give me 1 second. We're going to find this. And I'm going to actually try to hold this up to the.
Is he batting fourth? Do we know?
I was told he's batting fourth. Again, okay. We're recording.
Then he is. If you were told that before, he was. I thought that they sent the lineup last night.
Listen, if they call him up and don't put him in the lineup,
yeah,
it'll be anarchy.
That is true.
It'll be craziness. They'll revolt in the streets. Here we go. All right, PK is in the lobby, and they have their bags. Did you bring your video games? Why are your bags over there? And they're basically identifying, like, okay, you're...
Oh, that's cool. They're in the lobby.
Yeah, now you couldn't hear that very well. Apologize for the medium, but it's Pat Kelly who has a very interesting way to tell guys. He does it creatively all the time. But it looks like they're getting ready to head on out on the road to Columbus.
Yeah.
And they've got everyone's bags separate, but Ellie's is over here, and he's like, basically, is that your bag over there? You got your video games? So why is your bag over there? Your bag's over there because you're going to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's cool.
How did he tell you? I can't remember.
So it was Sunday after the game. He called me, and we were at a restaurant, and he told me there was a... He just told me I was going to Cincinnati.
Wow, you didn't get the creative one because yours was an injury, right?
TJ went on the...
TJ.
I Friedel, think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he has some good ones, man. He's done very, very well. All right, it wasn't always roses for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, you are drafted originally by the Diamondbacks, right?
Yep.
So you have to make the decision, all right, do I take this money now or do I go to UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to go to UCLA. And you struggled when you first got there, right? Mm-hmm. You hit like 204, I want to say.
203.
Which is crazy for me to think of as good a hitter as you are. You even played some center field there, right?
Played center field most of the year, and then I played third for like the last month.
What was that like?
It was good.
Good?
Yeah.
But did you have a lot like, oh my gosh, I should have taken the money from the Diamondbacks?
I really didn't. Like people did not think, even like, looking back on it, I literally don't ever think I thought that. Like, looking back on it, I don't know why I didn't think it, but I really didn't. I guess like that summer I went to the Cape and I played well.
Yeah.
But I really, like looking back on it, I don't know why I didn't think that.
Yeah, because it's natural. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm struggling here and I just turned down, I don't know what the signing bonus would
have
been.
It was 2.6.
I turned down $2.6 million and I just hit 200 in college.
And,
I'm not even
like,
playing short.
I probably struck out like 40% of the time.
Wow.
I don't know what the number was, but it was up there.
Okay. Not looking back or wondering if you were regretting the decision, but at least those struggles, did you have to soul search at least with the struggles?
Yeah. I think it was a wake up. It was like a big wake up call.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, each level has been a wake-up call.
Yeah.
But that was, like, a really big one. That was, like, that was the biggest wake-up call. Like, looking back on it, like, in high school and stuff, I really just, like, kind of rolled the balls out there. I worked really hard in the weight room, worked really hard. Yeah. But in terms of, like, actually knowing myself as a player, in terms of, like, you know, how I got to play in between the lines, like, I always played hard, but I was just kind of, like, hair on fire all the time, just play. But, like, my swing, I didn't necessarily know a lot. I didn't have a lot of, like, foundation or routine things to fall back on. So when I hit, like, the slump like that, or when I started to struggle, I was just constantly searching the whole entire year. And it was just, things just snowballed. Like, it was just, I was always searching for something in my swing or something. And honestly, it's really, like, looking back on it, it wasn't that. I mean, swing was good enough. It was just, like, I was just so mentally, like, what am I doing wrong? Why is this happening? And just constantly searching. And it wasn't good. But in the end, like, I learned so much from it.
Yeah. Well, you turned it on, and then you're drafted, what's it, 15th overall?
17th.
17th overall by the Reds, which I can't believe you fell that far. Again, do you think it was size-related, or they thought that you didn't have a big ceiling? What do you think?
I don't know.
Don't know?
I don't know.
I mean, looking back now, it's like, you know, 16 teams passed on you. I'm like, what?
I started off slower that year. I've always just been like an okay starter. I haven't, like, come out of the gates firing.
Except for here.
Or cold. Yeah. I mean,
that's where I'm actually leading to. You struggled last year, your first year of pro ball.
Yeah.
Like, bad. Was it, again, soul searching, or did you know, all right,
That was another jump. And even then, like, I didn't.
But you had a foundation that you've already struggled before.
So yeah. But the game was so much faster.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was my first year, and high A was pretty comparable to Pac-12.
Yeah.
And then double A was a pretty big jump. And then now it's a pretty big jump, too.
Yeah.
But the game was just faster for me.
Yeah. Well, it was a longer season, too.
And it was very long.
Were you tired? Like, you went to the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, tired. That's not an excuse for anything, but.
Hey, if you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah. The Fall League was also a wake up. I've had some good wake ups. And it's.
Wake up in what way?
Like,
the Fall League.
Dude, you got to get better.
Really?
Like, you got to. Like, do something. Like, you just, like, you got to get better. And it still is. Like, I every day here, I'm like, these guys are really good. Like, keep working. Like, every single day, 4 for 4, 0 for 4. Like, show up the next day, get a little bit better.
What did you do? I know you made a slight swing adjustment
in
the offseason. What was that adjustment?
A little bit. You know, I think one of the things, I opened up a little bit, helped see the ball better. I got a little bit more rhythm in my feet and my hands. I think just learning to be on time consistently and stay in my zone. That's one of the things I'm really, like, trying to continue to work on, is, like, just hit my pitch. Because, like, you watch some of these guys like Judge and Goldschmidt, and it's like, I'm at shortstop, and it's like, okay, anything up in the zone, like, they're swinging, like, they're getting their best swing off. Yeah. And it's like, anything out of it, they're just like, okay, have it. Strike one, or, like, ball. It's just impressive to watch them swing.
Yeah.
And, like, their approach. Like, you could tell guys, like, who know what they're looking for and know what they want compared to guys who don't.
I love that you're looking at other players, particularly great ones like you just named, that there's so much to learn from just watching. Mm-hmm. And you need to be that guy. You need to be a sponge. Any information you can get from the great ones. And I think that's great that you're already dialing into that. Now, I read somewhere. Mm-hmm. I may have saw it on some, I don't know where I picked this up, but one of your biggest adjustments, you're a SoCal kid where mm-hmm. it's hot, but not Midwest humid hot.
Mm-hmm.
The humidity, was that a big adjustment for you?
Yeah, like, it surprised me. I was like, dude, this is hot. Like, in Chattanooga last year, not so much in Dayton, but it was just like, I've always been in, like, the SoCal, Arizona. I played summer ball in Washington during the summer. Not that hot. Really good weather. Cape Cod. Really nice weather. And then I played in Santa Barbara one year. Really nice weather.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was always in California playing baseball or on the coast somewhere where it was good weather.
Right.
I was like, whoa, this is really hot. And it's starting to heat up. But
yeah. Oh, it'll drain you. I mean, that you got to be ready for it. But the going, being tired last year and then playing in the Arizona fall, that's going to help you.
Yeah, 100%. Like the long season.
You know what it takes.
So far in this year, like I got a better feel for like, you know, sleep, food, and lifting and how to like really use that to benefit myself as opposed to hurt myself or just stay the same. I'm still learning, but like I've learned a couple things on that where it's like, okay, I need to do this. I could do this. I could do this.
Yeah. Well, you said you were a slow, you've been a slow starter. Except for here, which is great.
Oh, I don't mean like slow. I've just been an average starter, honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
well,
there's certain average years where I'll come out of, my sophomore at UCLA, I came out of the gates hot.
Really?
Other than that, I was just average starter.
Well, speaking of coming out of the gates hot, National League Player of the Week. Like your first full week in the bigs. Your first full week in the bigs. National League Player of the Week. Now, it's a Player of the Week honor. It's not like the league MVP. But still, for the entire National League for that week, your first full week, you were very soft-spoken about it. But
man,
it had to be awesome.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. No doubt. Like, it was awesome. But, like, I'm one of those guys, like, if you, like, it's great. But I'll look back on it, like, 20 years, 30 years from now. Like, if I'm looking back on it now.
Yeah,
like,
Blair of the Week, who cares?
Yeah. I don't know. It was cool. But like,
you have lofty your goals. I understand.
Yeah. That's one thing. And the other thing is just like, it was just a week. Like, it's cool, but it was at the same time, it was like six, seven games.
Well, we've been starving for anything like that, believe me. So we made it a big deal. Like, this dude just got here and he's National League Player of the Week.
Thanks.
Yes, we love it. We want to get into your background of your family because that's interesting as well. We'll do that after this. All right. You've got some siblings that are very talented. First of all, it comes from mom and dad.
Yeah.
Mom played softball and volleyball.
Yep.
She's the most athletic in the family. Didn't you say that one time?
Yeah.
And dad, he was played football, walked down at UCLA.
Yeah.
Coached you in Little League. And then your brothers, one is...
one's with the Dodgers.
And one's at Arizona State. Yeah. So what was that growing up with you guys? That had to be crazy for the fam.
Yeah,
it was. I met your mom and dad, which is great, by the way.
Thanks. But it was fun. Like, they're my best friends, and, like, we talk every day. And we're really similar, like,
really?
Personality types. There's some differences, but, like, we're all very similar. We're all, like, we all like to mess around and, like, say jokes and, like, talk crap and
typical
stuff like
brother
that.
Stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. So... yeah, they're my best friends. But growing up, it was so much fun. There was always something going on.
They got to be stoked for you right now, your brothers.
Yeah.
I know your parents are.
Yeah.
Big time. Now, you said, I think you said it on Intentional Talk, that you beat up both brothers at the same time. Is this, this is a true story?
Well, it was more like I could. I think. I don't know if I ever have, but I could. And if I can't, I'm not going to say I can't.
Do you those guys have a shot of making bigs, you think?
Yeah, I think they both do.
Yeah.
Sean's still hurt in Arizona right now, but he's really good. He's a good hitter. We're all really similar players, except Nick's the youngest one who is a switch hitter.
You're the oldest, right?
Yeah.
You are the oldest.
Me and Sean are like the same player.
Yeah.
Nick, he's the same but switch hitter and he plays outfield.
Well, your mom said it was chaos at times in the McLean household.
Yeah.
Another thing that I found interesting that they told me is that when you were in college, you didn't have an agent and it was kind of, you guys were kind of learning as you went on.
Well, in high school.
In high school,
up until like a month before the draft.
Yeah. Where you were just kind of like, oh, wow, I need an agent, right?
Yeah.
Like
you were late.
Oblivious to it.
It was like I was at one of the tournaments. Like, it was like a Team USA thing and someone asked me who my agent was. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know everyone had an agent.
Yeah.
And I was like, nobody. And I told my dad after, I was like, Dad, these guys are asking me who my agent is. And he's like, well, what do you mean agent? I'm like, apparently everyone has an agent. And then, like, started to figure out the whole draft process, like, how these guys would advise you and, you know, talk to teams for you and stuff like that. But, I didn't have one until a month after.
That's crazy to think of because, you know, most of those agents are normally like you know, blood in the shark with blood in the water.
Yeah. Well, after a couple of those showcases, they were, you know, we'd have the visits with them in the house or whatever, but, I'm with Boris and I just waited for them, and they're in Orange County too. So they were coming to my high school games and stuff like that. And then eventually I went with them.
Now, what is it like being a Scott Boris client?
It's great.
What's great about it?
Everyone that works over there, Scott, everyone else is great. Like, great people, and they have my best interest in need, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, I know they catch slack sometimes, but it's, they're protecting me, one, and they're working for my best interest.
No, it's their job.
And I think that they're the best at that than anyone else.
Yeah. Who else is a Boris client? India is?
Ellie, India.
Sinzel. Wow.
There's a lot of Reds.
We're going to have to just have a big Scott Boris meeting and work all this out long term. we need some things to work out long term. I love the present, but I also want to plan for the future. So if we could get on that and just start having meetings about that, that would be great. Do you like Cincinnati so far?
I do. Yeah.
The town?
Yeah.
Because really, you're nice. A SoCal kid, this is way different.
Yeah.
Here?
I do like it.
What do you like?
I like the downtown area. I don't know. I just like it because I grew up in Orange County, so there's really no, like, downtown where I lived. Like, we live kind of close to the beach. I don't know. It's just a good area. I go get breakfast in the mornings. That's really all I've done. I've gone to a couple restaurants.
Well, you're locked in. We work nearly every day. People are like, what do you do during the season? I'm like, I work.
I go to breakfast. I come back, and I hang out, so I have to go to the field.
You got a good breakfast spot downtown?
I've been going to Wild Eggs.
Wild Eggs.
Wild Eggs. So they had one in Louisville, and I was going a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So I've been going there.
Nice, because you live in the same building with what? Friedel and Fraley lives in there. And
John,
India, does Steer live in there?
No, he doesn't.
India, yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple other guys.
So too. You guys, I imagine, do breakfast a lot together, right?
No, they all got girlfriends and wives and kids. I usually just go by myself or DoorDash it and bring it back.
All right, I'm going to ask a really nosy question.
No, I don't.
Ahead of the curve. No, I don't. We're just currently playing the field right now. We're just a little locked in on baseball. Too much going on.
Baseball, yeah. Baseball's it right now.
Baseball. But you heard it though. He's an eligible bachelor.
Oh God.
Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. He's turning red over here. All right, what makes you tick? You got a dog, right?
I do, Reggie. Yeah.
Red, 11 years Black old. Lab. And this was a quote from you. He's exactly like he and his brothers if they were dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly like your brothers if they were dogs.
Yeah, he's not funny. The sharpest tool in the shed. Funny. Yeah.
Hyper?
Hyper.
And what makes this dog funny?
For example,
the Black Lab, right?
Black Lab. He's just a meathead. He's like, yesterday my brother Nick went home before he has to go to summer ball, and he took him to the dog beach, and he likes, all he does is chase these birds, chased them right into the water, and he's a Black Lab, like you're supposed to be able to swim.
Yeah, he can't swim.
I don't know. He freaked out. He went in and there was like a sandbar, like right when he walked in, he started to like sink, and my brother had him on like this long leash, so my brother had him, but he like tried to see if he could swim, and he was like struggling, and he didn't know what to do. He's all sandy. He's a mess.
That is beautiful.
But he's funny. He sleeps with me when I'm home.
Really?
Yeah. He won't sleep like next to me. He'll sleep on the corner of the bed watching the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes me the best.
Why is that?
I'm the nicest to him.
The other ones aren't nice?
No, they are. I'm the nicest.
You also said that he was a beast.
Yeah. When he was young, we taught him kind of. Had a skateboard. We just put him on a skateboard and like wouldn't let him off. I don't know. Until he figured it out. So like he was kind of like pedaling a little bit. He wasn't very good at it, but we tried to teach him that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. What else makes you tick in the off season? I know you're locked in during baseball season, but in the off season, what do you do on your spare time? What makes you go?
I love golf. I golf a lot.
Really?
Yeah. And just do random things. I don't know. I live in, me and my brothers live in Scottsdale now together. Nick doesn't live with us. He's still in college, but hopefully if he
What made you choose Scottsdale?
It's a good place to... Well, Sean and Nick both go to ASU. ASU's a really good place to train. They got everything there.
Yeah.
So I work out there. It's fun. And there's golf. Yeah.
There is a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And the winters are beautiful. The winters.
And I had to get out of California. Yeah, the taxes are too much.
The truth comes out.
Yeah.
The taxes are crazy there.
Crazy. Ridiculous.
I mean, if your home address is there, I mean, the tax...
That's the first thing I did when I got drafted.
I mean, it's you hate to talk about it. You know, everyone has to pay taxes, but it's
a real thing.
It's
and I
like half your paycheck there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's also probably the main reason I went to.
Is there state taxes in Arizona?
I think there's like a bracket, and it goes up to like 3.5 or 4%.
Because I know Texas and Florida, people flock there.
Yeah,
you make a lot of money, man. No state taxes, which is a game changer.
Scottsdale's close enough. It's like a 5-hour drive home.
Yeah,
it's like the weather there's really, really nice in the off season.
Yeah,
and we found a Airbnb that we just rented for
spring
the whole
training.
Off season. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the drive from Scottsdale to Goodyear.
No, that's too far.
Not a quick one.
Yeah.
Not a quick one.
We lived in daily. We moved to this apartment complex in downtown Phoenix that was like fully furnished. Excuse me. And they would do like month to month.
Yeah.
So
oh, nice.
We did it for like 2 months in downtown. It was like 20 minutes and yeah. It was nice.
Who do you hang with on the team? Who
are
you hanging with?
Ellie just got here. Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins just got here too.
Yeah.
John's been cool, but TJ's my boy.
TJ Hopkins,
yeah.
Your boy?
Yeah.
What made you guys click?
He's funny.
Is he funny?
Yeah. He likes talk crap. Yeah.
I haven't seen that side yet. Obviously, he just got here.
He's so. Laying low. I'm laying low, too, right now.
I know you are. Like, I said it on the air. I was, like, pulling teeth trying to get answers out of you in a post-game interview. I'm like, he's a
I'm
man.
I'm always like that.
He's a man of few words, but many hits.
I don't know why I've just always been like that. I'm an undersharer than over.
Well, on these post-game interviews, mm-hmm. even if you have to fake it.
I could give you something good. I mean, like, it goes through my head. It goes through.
Well, lay it out there. Come on, man. Help a brother out here.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I guess I get shy, if you want to call it that.
I do, too, actually. People think
really?
People think I'm just this outgoing person all the time. I'm actually kind of socially awkward sometimes. We're around people I don't know.
Yeah.
And it comes off sometimes as, wow, he's not a very nice guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm just really shy.
Yeah.
Which amazes people because I have such a big mouth, but wow, okay. Well, yeah, just even if you have to fake it for me,
yeah,
just give me a few more words.
I'll give you something.
Two.
I'll give
sentence
you something.
Or two.
Yeah,
we'll send you to soundbite school. How about that?
Okay, sounds good.
Well, I appreciate the visit, man. I think the future's bright. I hope this is not the first visit to this podcast, and I hope we're talking about winning in the future because I can tell that's really all you care about.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah. All right, that is Matt McClain, everyone. And if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan right now with what's coming up through the pipeline, including this guy, how can you not be excited? We thank Matt McClain, Matt McBang, Matt McPlayer of the Week. Matt, what else we got? What else can we throw in there?
I don't know.
You have a nickname that you would like to stick with?
No.
How about Matt McWinner? Matt McWinner has been my guest, everyone. And we will see you next time on the Jim Day podcast. Mick, bye-bye.